This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Some predictions about oil.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This morning, the Energy Department gave kind of a downer forecast for the next two decades. It said energy demand will grow by 50% in that time, despite the price of oil. Countries like China will be the major reason. The report also says oil and coal will still be the primary energy sources by 2030, and that carbon emissions will increase by 50% unless something is done to curb global warming. Wall Street's waiting to hear what the Fed has to say today. The Fed will probably leave interest rates alone, but maybe it'll say something about inflation and the prospect of raising rates later on. So far, some minor gains on Wall Street, about a third of a percent. The Dow is up 38 points to 11,845. The NASDAQ has climbed 23 points, almost a percent. The S&P 500 is up 10. In Asia, the markets closed with mixed results today. European shares are half a percent higher so far. Oil is at $137 a barrel. The housing market may be a buyer's market, but no one's buying. Applications for mortgages hit a six-year low in the past week. That's despite fairly low interest rates. There are still too many homes on the market, and banks are still being tight with their lending. The mortgage lender Countrywide better round up the lawyers. The state of Illinois is suing the company. Marketplace's Steve Henn explains.
In a civil lawsuit to be filed later today, Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan accuses Countrywide of engaging in unfair and deceptive business practices. The suit alleges that Countrywide designed and marketed its mortgage products with both eyes firmly fixed on Wall Street. Madigan says the company set up incentives to boost its sales of bundled mortgages to investors at the expense of homeowners who were sold loans they couldn't possibly afford.
We also are finding people who have told us they were upfront about what their income and assets were. That's not what was put down in the documentation.
Madigan plans to ask the Illinois courts to modify any deceptive or unfair loans and give her office 90 days to review any new foreclosures. Countrywide's press office did not return calls seeking comment. This is the first suit of its kind brought by a state attorney general, and it's being closely watched across the country. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
In a few days, Bill Gates will quit his full-time job. He's stepping down as Microsoft chairman so he can devote more time to his foundation. Whatever you think of Gates, you can't deny his influence on the world, and especially the world of technology. Janet Babin has more from our Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Back in the day, Information Week editor David Berlind routinely interviewed Bill Gates. What struck him most about Microsoft's leader was his intensity.
I can remember sitting in a room with him having a very impassioned argument about software development.
Gates may have mellowed with success, but Berlind says the billionaire leaves behind a corporate structure many cyber companies still use today. That is, the tech geek should lead the company. Berlind says Gates knew his stuff from the start.
You couldn't come to him with a technology idea or show him some code and fool him about it. He knew the bits and bytes deeply enough to know what was real, what was good, what was cool, and what had potential.
Microsoft faces many challenges these days, but Berlind says the company's prepared to weather them without Gates at the helm. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
How about this for innovation? A spinning skyscraper. An Italian architect says he'll build one in Dubai. Each of the 80 floors will revolve slowly around a cement core, so you'll get a constantly changing view of the skyline. Plus, the whole building will be powered by wind turbines, so it doesn't need to be connected to the grid. In case you're interested, apartments go on sale in September, starting at $4 million. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, June 25th on Marketplace.org. A British mining company is raising some eyebrows this morning. The company Anglo American just made a gigantic investment in Zimbabwe to build a platinum mine. Of course, Zimbabwe is still ruled by the oppressive Robert Mugabe. Stephen Beard has more from London.
Anglo is going to spend more than $400 million building the mine in central Zimbabwe. The company claims it's acting out of a sense of responsibility. A spokesman said, "We owe it to our employees and the local community." But many politicians and campaigners have condemned the move. Patrick Smith is editor of Africa Confidential magazine. He says Anglo's investment will provide some money and a big psychological boost for the Mugabe government.
The big impact of it at the moment will be the symbolic one, which is saying Zimbabwe is a normal country, it's open for business, it's a great place to go in and invest $500 million.
He says Anglo's move underlines the ineffectiveness of economic sanctions against Zimbabwe. He says that three major financial institutions based in Britain, among them Barclays Bank, still provide a financial lifeline for the Mugabe regime. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
There's a good chunk of business that takes advantage of our fears. Products to protect our kids, our computers, our homes. Here's the latest offer. $30 a year to protect your cell phone. Jill Barchet explains.
Software firms are rolling out new security programs for smartphones such as BlackBerries. Stephen Drake tracks the mobile industry for research firm IDC. He says the programs can back up music or delete key files if a phone is lost.
You've probably heard a lot of the news stories around laptops and folks leaving very sensitive data on those devices, having them stolen. Well, phones are even more susceptible and in greater number.
Third-party applications for these phones are hitting the market. Jeff Alaber oversees new products at Kaspersky Lab, a big antivirus software company.
And those applications aren't going to be written with security in mind. The bad guys have recognized that, and as more and more data value ends up on these smartphones, they're going to be ripe for the picking.
Brace yourself. Alaber predicts cell phone viruses will start jangling our nerves in the next 6 to 18 months. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
It's been almost 3 years now since the U.S. government started the Registered Traveler Program. This is where you pay an annual fee to go through airport security faster. And for obvious reasons, the service is starting to attract a lot more customers. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more.
The Transportation Security Administration has to approve passengers for the Registered Traveler Program. Fingerprints and eyes are scanned. The yearly fee runs about $130. But when the wait at some security lines is 40 minutes or more, Stephen Brill says membership is worth it. He's the founder of the largest airport express lane company, Clear.
It never takes them more than 4 minutes. We have concierges who help them divest their materials like their cell phones and then retrieve them at the other end, and our people have a predictable experience.
There are now express lanes in 18 airports, and Brill hopes to expand to the country's 25 busiest airports by the end of the year. Around 200,000 people are using the paid lanes, and Bill Connors with the National Business Travel Association says companies are beginning to pay the annual fee for their executives, all in the name of productivity.
If you have an executive that's traveling 30 times a year and you're making them sit in lines for 1 hour on each end of a trip, the productivity gains you've just realized are a lot better than the $100 a year it costs to be in the program.
The reaction at Washington's Reagan National Airport, which opened express lanes in February, has been mixed. Passenger John Quest, a public policy consultant, worries about the intrusiveness of registering with the government.
No, that's too big brother for me. I'd rather have privacy than have my iris on some database and my fingerprints, which they probably are already, but you know, I like to at least feel like I'm semi-anonymous.
But businessman Peter Stevens hates standing in line and is thinking about signing up.
You can't use your BlackBerry or anything like that. You can't speak on the phone when you're standing there. So if I could pay a wee bit more to move through, I would.
Registered traveler customers still have to shed their shoes and computers before going through security. But businesses like Stephen Brill's are promoting technologies for faster screening. His goal is to make the entire process take no more than 30 seconds. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Congress is looking at ways to discourage oil speculators. Opponents say there's no need to tinker with the free market. It's a classic battle between the forces of government and business. Commentator Robert Reich says every so often, one of them takes control of the other.
The great pendulum of American economic outrage moves back and forth over time between anger at big government and anger at big business. For almost 30 years, big government has been the target, starting with Ronald Reagan's admonition that government is the problem, not the solution, through Bill Clinton's declaration that the era of big government is over, and George W. Bush's hands-off brand of free market fundamentalism. We deregulated much of the economy and pretty much allowed corporations to do what they wished. And for the first 20 years, the result was largely good: a buoyant economy, a bullish stock market, a strong dollar. But now we're experiencing what happens when the pendulum swings too far and big business is given so much leeway that the public is harmed and the economy jeopardized. The corporate looting scandals that began with Enron were a wake-up call. Then came the practice of post-dating executive stock options. And more recently, an epidemic of unsafe products, drugs like Vioxx, tainted foods, heparin, and lead-painted toys imported from China. We've had defense contractors that don't deliver on their contracts and insurance companies that won't deliver on their promises. And just this past year, the subprime loan mess, a financial meltdown on Wall Street, out-of-control hedge funds and derivatives, perhaps manipulation of oil futures markets. The reality is that neither big government nor big business is the problem. Both are necessary parts of a modern economy. Problems arise when they're out of balance, as they were by the 1970s, when government had grown so large it was stifling the economy, or as they have become this decade, as big business, including Wall Street, grew so irresponsible as to undermine public trust and threaten the economy. Now the pendulum of outrage is swinging back against large corporations. America is heading toward another era of regulation. The real question is how smartly we go about it and whether we can keep the pendulum from swinging too far.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.